God opened my heart and my eyes for mission. And I can still remember the very first time we came to Cambodia, we did not have relatives or friends or even acquaintances. We were totally like strangers. And because of that situation, I started to complain to my dad and asking him, Dad, why we should be there in Cambodia? And why we need to sacrifice there? We can serve God in the Philippines. It's just the same. And I'm trying to convince him to go back in the Philippines. And I can still remember what my father told me, son, it is not a sacrifice to serve God, but rather a privilege. Cambodia needs God's gospel as well as Filipino do. They all need Christ. And I'm always thankful to the Lord for calling me in thy ministry 3 years ago. He allowed me to come over here to study in Marietta Bible College. And last 3 months ago, I just finished my studies. And now I'm ready to go back home to Cambodia to start a new church and to preach the gospel. And I'm trying to go around with my father to raise some monthly support. And I thank God, two churches in Virginia started to support me $100 a month. And I'm just raising $300. And maybe you will ask me why it's only $300. Because number one, I'm still single. And number two, I don't have girlfriend. Because somebody told me having a girlfriend will cost you a lot of money. So I'm trying to stay single as much as possible. Just please remember me in your prayer that God will go into use me mightily in Cambodia. Thank you.
Amen. I wanted to say this before Brother Edgar came. Remember now, he's been there 8 years. This young man was about 14 years old when they went. And then the little one, she's 14. So she'd have been about 6 years old when he went. And I remember Brother Edgar coming to our church. Brother Rod Black and I both got excited. We could just see that. I know many of you did, saw the hand of God on him. And we were excited about their work. He's been there 8 years, a little over 8 years. They run 300 people. Remember, he started from nothing, and he went to Cambodia, where nobody is, as far as fundamental churches, hardly. And now he's got about 8 to 10 preacher boys, and if you count all their, if you count all the satellite churches, they run about 800. Amen. And so, you're talking about one of our premier missionaries. This is one of our premier missionaries that we have here today that's done a great work for God. We have 100 missionaries, and all our missionaries are tremendous. And I'm so glad that we have part of their ministry. Amen. And when we get to heaven, Bethel Baptist, we'll be glad. We'll be glad we supported the missionaries. And we just keep on supporting, keep on giving, so we can. Right now, I'd like to take a son on right now, but right now the way we are, we're pressed right now just to make our missions giving as it is. And so, let me encourage you: if you don't give the faith promise, to start giving the faith promise. We need money all the time to go on faith promise missions to help our monthly support. So, Brother Edgar, you come and preach to us and share to them about those Bibles. Tell them what you want to do.
Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to go back again and be a blessing. My prayer this morning is may the Lord help us to raise the enough Bibles that we needed, because the situation that we have right now is every Sunday, every time that I will prepare my message, I need to type all the verses that I'm going to use it, and then they will run it in a photocopy machine, and we distribute to all our people, because I'm encouraging them to, they don't have the Bible that they will going to read back to their families. So,
how many here have got a Bible? How would you like to have no Bible? Wouldn't that be horrible? We take for granted our Bible. Yep. Yeah. Then we're going to try to raise some money up to bring some Bible to
the table. Okay. We're not praying to bring a television set to the people.
No.
We're not praying to bring a a radio to the people. We're not praying to bring those games to the people, but we're praying to bring a print word of God to these Cambodian people. That is our prayers. And I would like to invite you, please, to open your Bible with me in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 26. And don't worry, I will not preach too long this morning. Because if I will preach the same I preached in my church, probably we will end up around 2 o'clock this afternoon. Because, you know, I am a three-pointer Baptist preacher. And every point, that is 30 minutes. If I will preach 15 minutes to our people, they will get mad and they will hire another preacher. And so I always preach an hour and a half. We always start our service at 8 to 9, that is our Sunday school. And then we will give them 15 minutes break. And we will start our worship at 9:30 in the morning. And we will end up at 12. So I need about an hour and a half for the message. But since I am in America, and I will follow the rules. I remember one of my professor in the Bible college in homiletics. He told me that, son, don't forget this golden rule in preaching. And I'm just a little bit curious. I said, what is this golden rule? He said, this is the rule. If you will preach to another pulpit, always preach yours. I don't see any sense. I said, why they make it a golden rule? He said, if you will preach short, they will going to help you. If you will preach long, they will forget you. So I will follow that rule this morning. And then second, why I will preach only for 10 minutes. My English is only good for 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes, I need to stop whether I like it or not. You know, I was born in the Philippines, and we have over 120 different dialects. If I just knew that God will going to call me to preach His word, I wish when during my high school days, I spent more time in my English subject. But I don't like that subject. I don't like it. I try to escape on that subject. I don't like it. And I keep on telling, why do I need to learn this language, you know? And but it's too late for me. My computer is too slow to memorize all those grammars and tenses. So if there are some words that I will mispronounce it and use it in the wrong usage, please forgive me. After the service, I'm glad to explain it, what I mean. Acts chapter 26, verse number 18, and the Bible said, is to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, I would like you to notice the last part. It said, the faith that is in me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask you to guide us, Lord, and give us the right word and challenge our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. He said, sanctified by faith that is in me. I was born in a very religious family. We are a member of Roman Catholic in our city. 15 years, as far as I know, I never missed any of those Sundays, Holy Mass we call it. They teach me that I need to follow the 10 commandments of Moses in the book of Exodus. If I will follow all those 10 commandments, I'll be all right. If I die, I will go to heaven. They teach me that if I need to confess my sin to a local priest, and then he will going to punish me of some numbers of prayers, and I need to recite the rosary, the Holy Father in Matthew, and then take the Holy Communion on Sunday morning, and my sins are all forgiven. So this is something that they put in my heart, in my mind, for 15 years. I am not interested to other religion. I've been reading the Bible, but this is all I knew. And then after 15 years, somebody invited me to a small congregation, about 13 people that time Sunday morning, and Dr. Kison is preaching the Word of God. For the very first time within 15 years, I heard the simple presentation of the gospel. And he used John 3:16. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That is Sunday morning. And then I went back on Sunday night, and he preached John 3:16 again. Amen. And then I went back on Wednesday night, and he preached John 3:16 again. Amen. Now, I'm serious. Then I came back the following Sunday, that is two Sundays already, and he preached John 3:16 again. And then third Sunday, the same verse. Up to the fourth Sunday, I'm a little bit tired of hearing John 3:16. You know, that is the first time that I went to the church and practically I memorized John 3:16 word for word within four consecutive Sunday. And after the service, you know, I'm a little bit curious and I talked to Dr. Keeson and I asked him, I said, "Sir, do you have another message? Do you have another verse?" And then he embraced me a little bit and he tried to whisper it to me and said, "Son, that is the only verse that I got, John 3:16. Yeah, you know Dr. Keeson?
Yes, we love Dr. Keeson.
You know, he never pastored a church in the past. He never went to a Bible college. He's a businessman. And then his older sister got saved. And then he led that lady, Dr. Keeson, and Dr. Keeson got saved. And after he got saved, he closed his business. He went to our hometown and he preached John 3:16 and I got saved.
Amen.
And I can't blame him. And I told him, "Go ahead, sir. You preach John 3:16 even a year. I'll stay here."
Amen.
But do you know, I want to tell you this morning the whole story. His older sister led Dr. Keeson. And do you know how that old lady got saved? She is working in one of those servicemen at Clark Air Base. And if you don't know what is Clark Air Base, this is a U.S. air base, the biggest air base outside America in the past. This young lady, she wants to buy something in a grocery store, and there is a one young serviceman that came, and he tried to witness this young lady. And for 15 minutes, to make the story short, this young lady got saved. And after she got saved, she went home and she led Dr. Keeson. And Dr. Keeson got saved. And then Dr. Keeson led me to the Lord. And then I went to Cambodia. And these Cambodian people got saved. And this Cambodian, our dream is to send them as missionary in Saigon, in Vietnam, in China, in Myanmar, in Laos. But all started to those young servicemen that spent 15 minutes of soul winning. And this morning, I'll bet you this morning, that young man, he don't know anything, the impact that they have done in our lives. Yeah, I'm very curious and excited. If I die in this world and go to heaven, and I want to see this young man. And I want to say to this young man, thank you so much in leading that young lady. Because of that 15 minutes that you led that young lady to the Lord, and I got saved. And I'm so thankful that there is a one young serviceman that loved lost soul. And the Bible said, the faith that is in me. And I thank the Lord that he saved me. And I don't have any regrets this morning that I trusted the Lord as my personal Savior. Religion cannot save me. Those good works cannot save me. Confessing my sins to a priest cannot save me. Being a member of a church cannot save me. And by the way, being a member of a Baptist local church will not bring you in heaven. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and no more. The Bible said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord that faith that is in me is the same faith that I'm preaching and sharing to the people of Cambodia. And thank God that He gave me that faith. But that faith, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How they will get that faith without the word of God? And many, many times that I grew up in a third world country, I thought that I am serving an unfair God. Because every time that I look at our situation, that we want to do more in the ministry, but because of nothing, the ministry has become slower. And many, many times I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why you did not bless Philippines the way you bless America? Why you did not bless Cambodian people the way you bless this country? I remember those two characters in the book of Luke. The rich man go to hell. And Lazarus went to heaven. I believe the rich man go to hell because he is not a rich person. I believe Lazarus went to heaven because he is a poor person. The economic situation is nothing to do with our salvation. But I believe with all my heart, the easiest person to lead in this world, those people have nothing. And this is the only hope. The first time that I went to Cambodia in 1999, it is not easy. It is hard. 14.5 million Buddhists never heard the gospel. Never saw a Bible, never heard even just the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How they will go to heaven? Buddhism can bring them in heaven? No, sir. The Buddhist monk can preach salvation? No, sir. It is only the faith that is in me that can stop them in going to eternal punishment in hell. But the job is big. It is not easy. The first time that the Lord called me, I don't understand. I've been a pastor in the Philippines for 15 years. We started 3 churches in our ministry. We're doing fine. We're doing okay. As a matter of fact, I've never been in this state when I pastored those 3 churches in the Philippines. But while everything is all right, the church that I pastor is taking care of our needs. And we start another one, and we start another one. Suddenly, God is calling us, and He wants me to resign to a church that we started. It is not easy. It is like next Sunday, Dr. Skyberg, we stand here and said, I would like to submit my resignation, and I want to go to Russia. You'll be happy? Oh, it's the same with our people. First time I don't understand. And I keep on complaining. I said, Lord, I've been serving you for 15 years. We're doing all right. We started another church, and I'm willing to start another one. Call somebody. Why me? I said, we have more than 300 missionaries in this mission board. Why me? I never commit a big mistake in my ministry. I'm serving you. We started 3 churches already. I'm doing fine. And I don't understand. And after Dr. Kishon explained it to me about Cambodia, I don't know. I don't understand why this something began special in my heart. But my problem is my family. I don't want to go to Cambodia alone. How can I explain to my wife. And I pray and I said, Lord, help me to explain to my, you know, woman. Many, many times, you know, I believe that we men are head of the family, right? But don't forget, the neck is the one turning the hand. You know the situation. I'm so scared to explain to my wife. And how can I convince her? You know, if the Lord will call me to preach in this country, I think there is no problem. If I will explain to my wife, the Lord burdened me, let's go to America and start a Filipino church, there's no problem. I think if I will ask my wife that we will go to Canada to start a church, there is no problem. I think if I will ask my family to go to Australia and start a church, there is no problem. But in Cambodia, mine, it's different. 20 years left behind to the Philippines. It is 40 years left behind in this country. Now, how you can convince a woman to go in that country? So this is my problem. And I've been praying and asking the Lord, give me the most sweetest word to explain it to my wife. And then I pray, then I pray. And I said, Lord, I want to talk and discuss to my wife this day. And time has come. I need to sit down and discuss to my wife. I'm so scared. You know, I don't want to go to Cambodia alone. I can't survive. And I thank the Lord that God spoke to her heart. When I told him Cambodia, she is so excited. He said, darling, let's go to Cambodia. To make the story short, I went first time in this country to go on deputation in 1999. When you say America to us, for us, this is a place of milk and honey. And the mission board told me that I need to raise at least $1,000 to be a missionary in Cambodia. So I said, if I will going to raise $1,000, so I just need 10 churches to support me $100 a month. So I just need around 1 month to raise that money. 6 months. I am so confused. 6 months that I stay here and I preach to more than 45 churches and we raise only $320. And Dr. Keeson, he suggested, he said, you need to stay for another 6 months. I said, no, sir. I will not do that. I've been serving the Lord 15 years and we trusted the Lord in the Philippines. I don't see any difference. If God bless me in the Philippines to preach His word, why He cannot bless me in Cambodia? Yeah. It is the same God. It is the same Savior. It is the same book. It is the same faith. And I tell Dr. Heason, whether we raise up or not this money, we need to be in Cambodia at the end of this year, and that is December. December 7th, with all faith and trusting the Lord, that God will do something in that country for this ministry with $320 a month. God never failed us. People got saved. After 3 months of serving the Lord, we baptized more than 60 people that embraced Christianity and accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. And then people are coming. There are Sundays that we need to close our gate because children are coming. And we cannot accumulate all these children. And I'm begging the Lord. I said, Lord, I need to go back and raise funds again. And then 2002, I went back. And I came in this church Sunday night. First time that I met Dr. Schreiber. First time that I stood in this pulpit. First time that I shared the gospel and the burdens and the people in Cambodia. And after the service, you responded to that call and you support that ministry. And thank you so much. God used this pulpit. God used this man. God used this congregation to continue to preach the gospel in Cambodia. And after 8 years of preaching the gospel, we trained 10 young men, got saved in that ministry. Now they have churches. Now I got another 8 men waiting for us next month. And we will going to send them out. And they will start another 8 churches. And our prayers, next year we will going to celebrate our 10th year anniversary as missionary. And 10th year anniversary of Grace Baptist Church. We want to dedicate 20 Bible-believing Baptist church in that country. That is our prayer. But it is hard to preach the gospel if you don't have the written word of God to your people. I visited a couple, a family. They have 6 children. They don't have home. They don't have a place to stay at night. They will just roll a piece of plastic sheet near on the street. And I visited them around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When I saw them, they are sitting down like a circle, a mom and a dad and the 6 children. And I heard them reading something. And I came close, and I look at them, and I saw their father reading the Bible scriptures that we printed last Sunday. And they're reading 6 verses. And I look at them. It breaks my heart. And the man, he asked me, he said, "Sir, we've been reading this scripture for 4 days already. Can you give us another one? Can you give us another scripture?" But you know how it hurts me. It's already 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Their stomach are empty. They just drink a glass of water. They don't have money to buy a food. But they are all excited reading the word of God. And you know what he told me? He said, "This is the only food that we have today. It is God's word." It hurts me. When I travel in this country, I saw a lot of Bibles left in those church pews. I mean hundreds. And I'm sure you have more than one Bible this morning. You have a special Bible in the church. You have a Bible in your home. You have a Bible in your office. You have a Bible in your truck. You have a Bible in your schools. At least 2 or 3 Bibles that you have. But these people, they have nothing. Maybe you will ask, "Brother Edgar, how much it costs is the Bible?" "It's $5. So they cannot buy a Bible for $5. Then you explain the situation. Our people, they work 8 hours a day, 6 days a week. You know how much is their salary? $25 a month. If you are receiving $25 a month, you will spend $5 for a Bible? No, sir. You will not. That is our situation. In my prayer this morning, I knew that even 1,000 Bible, God will provide in this congregation. John chapter 3, verse 16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." You can see the vision of God in John 3:16 alone. He don't want anybody to perish and stay in hell without a chance of giving or hearing the word of God. He is a fair God. He don't want anybody in this world to point their finger and say, look, the reason why we are in hell, because nobody preached God's word to us. He is a fair God. And he wants to make it sure that every single person living in this planet, that they will have the opportunity to listen to the preaching of the gospel. Look at Matthew chapter 24. I know Matthew chapter 24 is a chapter concerning about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will not preach about the second coming, but I want you to notice a single verse here. In Matthew chapter 24, and I will just read verse number 2. Say ye not all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be a left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown. Verse number 3. So he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming, of the end of the world? And then if you will read all those verses from verse number 6, the Bible says, and ye shall hear of wars, but the end is not yet. Verse number 7, for the nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes. Verse number 9, for they shall deliver you of the afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And this is one of the reasons why they don't like this country. And this is the only reason why the Muslim, they don't like this country. They are trying to destroy this country because of Christ's name. Look at verse number 11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I am not talking to another country. You have one false prophet down in Texas. Right? You have another false prophet in Michigan. Probably another false prophet here in Ohio. And then look at verse number 12. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And this is the reason why we have empty pews to those to our churches right now. But look at verse number 14. And this is what I want to say. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for the witness unto the nation, then shall the end come. Do you think Jesus will come today? Yes, he can. Anytime. But you think Jesus will come if there is somebody in this world that never heard the gospel yet? He is a fair God. He will not let anyone to suffer in hell without giving a chance to hear the gospel. You've been praying that, Lord, please come. How he can come? If there's a single person living in this world that still never heard the gospel. Do you want him to come immediately? Let's go out and do a soul winning. That's the only issue. Send the print word of God to every nation. That's the only issue. It is the vision of God that everybody will get saved. Number 2 is the love of God. And I thank the Lord that God loves me. And I don't deserve that love. I am a wicked man living in that country. I don't deserve the salvation. I don't understand why Jesus took my place on Calvary. During Sunday school, they mentioned about the sacrifice of Christ. the ultimate sacrifice in this world is to send his own son and died on the cross of Calvary. Remember, the fellowship of the God the Father, God the Son, and the God the Holy Spirit is eternity to eternity. Remember that. But one day, they break that fellowship. When God the Father, he asked his own son to leave heaven's glory and go down in this world, take a human body born by a virgin for the purpose to save which are lost, just to save us. That is the ultimate sacrifice. And I don't understand why he needs to do that. And I believe he will remain God and powerful in this world, even I will go to hell. God will never lose any power, even I will not serve him. He will be remain as God. And I don't understand why he needs to take my place on Calvary. And I thank the Lord this morning that he gave me that opportunity to hear the gospel. And because of that faith, this morning, if something happened in this life, I will go to heaven. Because Jesus paid it all at the cross. Are you not glad this morning you are saved? Are you not glad? Huh? Do you have any reason to be lonely? No. Now, I don't care if all the cancer will take this body. But after all that kind of diseases, I know this body is going home in heaven. And I don't think so, that the only hope of these Cambodian people, that they don't have anything in this world, they don't have home, they don't have motorbikes, they don't have jewelry, they don't have place to stay. But I keep on telling that there is something that I can share it with you, and that place is heaven. And people are so excited. I never saw a faithfulness of a man within 15 years that I preached the gospel in the Philippines, if I will compare it to the faithfulness of those Cambodians got saved. They are so excited. You know how many days that we spend for our soul winning? It is 4 days a week and 8 hours a day. We started a Bible Institute. And one of our requirements to stay in our Bible Institute is this. You need to bring visitors in a month. If you fail to bring visitors within 3 months, I'll kick you out. Now, I'm serious. I don't care if I have 5 students. If all these 5 students are faithful and serving the Lord and willing to be used by God and preach the gospel to those people, rather than having 100 students for the sake of numbers but doing nothing for the Lord. Because I will never spend God's money to the lazy workers. And I don't care if they will going to brand me a dictator preacher. That's fine. I will just do what is right according to the word of God. And God called me for this purpose, is to preach the gospel. And God called me for this purpose, is to train these men. And God called me for this purpose, is to send them out and preach the gospel. Because our prayer is we want to reach and preach the gospel for those 14 million Cambodians. That is our responsibility. And God will going to require me those 14 million in my hands. And time will come that I will going to face my Savior. He will not going to ask me how many churches that I started. He will not going to ask me how much tithes and offering that I gave every Sunday. He will not ask me how many people that follow the Lord in water baptism. He will ask me if how many people that I reach to the gospel. And so I'm so scared to face my Savior. I'm so scared. I don't know if I use already this illustration in this church. Assuming that this is a bottle of Coke. In 1960, the Coca-Cola International, they held a meeting in this country, in New York. 1960, they called all the executive officer around the world. And the CEO officer, this is his statement. And he said, I don't care if our company will spend millions of dollars. Nobody will get out of this room until we come out in a plan. And I want this bottle of Coke will be available around the world. That is 1960. 2000, after 40 years, they call another meeting in this country again. They call all their executive officers. The CEO stood in that meeting, and he raised a can of Coke, no longer a bottle. It's already a can. And this is his statement. He said, mission accomplished. You have more than 100 missionaries representing different countries. After the service, give them a call and ask them if they have Coke in their city. I bet you said, yes, we have. First time I went to Cambodia, I traveled 12 hours from the city. It's a remote province, and I preach. And after I preach more than an hour, I'm so thirsty. And then I get a dollar, and I ask a boy, a Cambodian boy, to buy me a bottle of water. You know what he told me? He said, sir, we don't have a bottle of water. If you want, I can buy you a Coke. I mean, this is a third world country. Cambodia is part of Southeast Asia. They don't have a bottle of water, but they have a can of Coke. But that is the first time they heard the preaching of the gospel. Coke has been in that country since 1927. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came.
Yep.
And he raised this book.
Yep.
Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. If Jesus will come at this time, and he will stand in this pulpit right now, and he will look the individual eye of every people sitting down in this congregation this morning, and he say, mission accomplished. Sir, we failed him. You failed him, and I failed him. I am not talking to another state. I am not talking to another country. But I will guarantee you tonight, in just this county alone, there are people living there still never heard the gospel. It is not my responsibility. It is not only the preacher's responsibility. It is not only the church worker's responsibility. It is the whole church responsibility. We fail him as a church. And I wish this morning you got the message. Mission is the best program in a church. And you can never replace mission for another program. Every single soul that you will lead it to the Lord, it will be recorded in your hand. Count. In closing, some people, he said, brother, the reason why I'm trying to hold some amount of money, you know, I want to use it in my retirement. I understand. For us, we don't know what is retirement. I am committed that I will going to serve the Lord up to the last breath of my life. I don't care if I'm already 80 or 90 years old. As long that I can stand in the pulpit, as long that I can read God's word, I'm going to preach. So I don't know what is retirement. For the sake of respect, I understand if you save some money for your retirement. At the age of 65, you need money that you will relax and enjoy. But something that I don't understand this morning, how you will enjoy life at the age of 65? Huh? How you can travel around the world at the age of 65? When it's hard for you to walk on the airport tarmac and you need help. Huh? How you will enjoy those beautiful places when your eyes are so dim at the age of 65? You will enjoy it. You don't even recognize what is a mountain and a valley. And how you will enjoy those delicious food that they will going to serve on your table when your own doctor won't allow you to eat even just a piece of cake because of your sugar. Am I right? How you will enjoy to a delicious ice cream that your own doctor won't allow you. How you will enjoy at the age of 65? Tell me this morning. How? You keep all those money at the age of 65 and you want to enjoy it, and now your children and your grandchildren are the one enjoying it. Let me suggest how to enjoy at the age of 65. Let me suggest. This is just a suggestion. I want to spend my retirement in heaven. I want to work and work and work and win more souls while I am here. Because I want a beautiful mansion in heaven. That is what I want. I don't care if I don't own a house in this world. I don't care. I cannot bring in heaven those beautiful homes that I have here. I don't care if I will just use a motorbike. That's fine. But I want is a beautiful mansion in heaven. That is my goal. That is my vision. That is my dream. And then I will just ask one thing in heaven. Just one thing. I will ask the Lord to prepare a one rocking chair in my porch in heaven. And I want to sit down in that rocking chair. And I want to listen to gospel music. Amen. And the angels are singing. And I want to see those people passing by and I want to look their face. And I want somebody to knock on my doors and say, "Brother Edgar, welcome home. I am from Cambodia. Thank you so much. You preach the gospel and I am here." Yeah. And somebody will come to you and say, "Sir, thank you so much. I'm from Pakistan. You sent missionaries, the reason why I'm here." And somebody will come and say, "Sir, I'm from Africa. You sent missionaries in our country, and the reason why I'm here." I said, "Sir, thank you so much. I am from Iraq. You bring the gospel, and I got saved." And people will just pass by on that beautiful porch and say, "Lord, thank you so much." And I think that is the most happiest retirement that I will ever have. You want the same retirement? You need to start to work right now. It will not come overnight. Thank you, preacher.
Every head bowed. I sure love you, Brother Edgar. Every eye closed. You're here today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." I'm glad he loves the world, not just America, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We've been talking about world missions today, but this is a mission right here. Ravenna, your life's a mission. I wonder how many would say, Pastor, I know for sure there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner, and I asked Christ to save my soul, and I know if I die, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure. Thank you. May put them down. How many would say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you and honest with God and honest with myself. I've never saw myself a lost sinner going to hell. I've never saw myself in need of a Savior. I've never asked Jesus to come in my life and save my soul. But I'd sure like to do it today. I'd sure like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Just raise a hand. Anyone like that today? Pray for me. I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just lift your hand and put it back down. Pray for me, preacher. Pastor, include me in that prayer. Pray for me. Once you die, there's no turning back. You have an opportunity to be saved in this life, but after this life is over, when you die, the moment you die, you either go straight to heaven or you go straight to hell. And what you do with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, determines where you go. God provided His Son for every one of us. If you take His Son, you can have heaven. If you reject His Son, you'll go to hell. It's not God's will that any should perish. Heavenly Father, I pray if there'd be any here today that doesn't know You as Savior, I pray, dear God, that You would speak to their hearts. Help them to trust Christ today. And Lord, thank You for speaking to our hearts today as Christians. Oh, how we need to reach the world before it's too late. Help us appreciate Your Bible more. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.